First Lady Michelle Obama has gotten a lot of attention for her vegetable garden on the south lawn of the White House. The idea is to be an example to Americans of how to eat more healthily. Turns out Washington, D.C. has a long tradition of trying to guide the American diet, going back some 200 years and featuring something every school child knows, the Department of Agriculture's food groups.
Meat group. Fruit and vegetables group. Bread and cereals group. That's a balanced diet.
This 1970s ditty from a children's show devoted to nutrition is among the many historical documents kept at the National Archives here in Washington, D.C.
You might not think that we have records about food here at the National Archives, but really anything that touches our lives is represented here. And food, of course, is a very basic, everyday kind of thing. And the government's been involved in it really since there's been a government.
That's Alice Camps. She's the head curator of a new exhibit at the National Archives called What's Cooking, Uncle Sam? What you'll learn there is that founding fathers Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin brought back from diplomatic missions abroad rice, olives, and other plants they hoped would help diversify the crops in their new nation. The first federal funds that went to agriculture went to the Patent Office in the 1830s to distribute foreign seeds to American farmers.
In the early 1900s, the Department of Agriculture sent explorers to remote parts of the world to gather plants. They had to deal with tigers, boars, bandits, people sworn to kill all foreigners, and we have wonderful documentation of those expeditions.
Camp says some of those exotic species they brought back are now everyday foods: apricots, persimmons, oranges, and the Meyer lemon, named after one of the most famous agricultural explorers, Frank Meyer. But not everything they brought back caught on with the American public.
We have some wonderful film footage, I think it's from the 1920s, of two women enjoying jujubes. And I think they thought there was going to be this great market for jujubes, but In fact, what are jujubes? You don't see those in grocery stores. Apparently they weren't very popular. I think they're sort of date-like.
The government did catch on to the potential of a new medium to spread the word on eating well. In fact, the Department of Agriculture produced one of the earliest shows on radio. One extremely popular show shared recipes and cooking tips and featured a woman named Aunt Sammy. Aunt Sammy, as in Mrs. Uncle Sam.
Get your pencils and paper ready. We're going to have some more recipes today. Now write this menu. Cold sliced tongue.
In the National Archives exhibit, along with a photo of a 1930s farm family gathered around a radio, there's a poster from the era illustrating 100-calorie portions of familiar foods. So, to get your 100 calories, you could have a pound of tomatoes, three prunes. That's amazing. Okay, a bowl of cereal.
Mm-hmm. The focus, though, then was getting enough calories. This was during the Great Depression, and unlike now, where we're counting calories to keep them down, they were counting calories to try to get enough.
And as it still is today, the federal government back then was looking to protect Americans from food. Many food and drug laws came about in the early 20th century. Curator Alice Camps walked us over to a display devoted to a pioneer in food safety, a chemist with the Department of Agriculture named Harvey Wiley.
He was convinced that many of the substances that were added to foods as preservatives and dyes and so forth were dangerous.
And this is back in the late 1800s, early
1900s? Yes. So he wanted some proof of this. So he decided to test these substances on humans. In 1903, he started an experiment he called the Hygienic Table. He enlisted a number of young men, volunteers, to eat all their meals in the basement of the Department of Agriculture. And they outfitted this room with white tablecloths. They had waiters. They hired a chef. So the meals were very carefully prepared. But then these chemical substances were added to them, like formaldehyde and boric acid. So we have his notes where he recorded the effects of these chemicals on these young volunteers. And they often became violently ill.
Here I'm reading on one of these yellowed handwritten notes. Number 5 was nauseated and sick during the night of February 1st and vomited all of his dinner. He did not eat breakfast on February 2nd. Not surprised.
Harvey Wiley's experiment attracted a tremendous amount of attention from the press, which dubbed his team of young volunteers the Poison Squad. In those early days of the 20th century, there were even songs written about the Poison Squad. On display are the lyrics from one song used in a vaudeville act. And it begins, "If ever you should visit the Smithsonian Institute, look out that Professor Wiley doesn't make you a recruit." He's got a lot of fellows there that tell him how they feel. They take a batch of poison every time they eat a meal.
The press had a field day with this, and it was the butt of many jokes, but the notoriety even helped his cause because people learned about it and became aware of the dangers of these substances, and that went a long way in helping pass in 1906 the Pure Food and Drug Law.
That law made it illegal to ship or receive any adulterated or misbranded foods like ketchup. On the wall at the National Archives is an illustration of a Victorian housewife leaping away as a bunch of ketchup bottles blow up behind her.
During the mid-1800s, it was sometimes prepared from the refuse of canneries, so tomato skins, cores, peels, sometimes rotten tomatoes went into this product, and it was then bottled, and the bacteria often caused the bottles to explode.
Many years later, the Agriculture Department almost classified ketchup as a vegetable in school lunches, which in a way gets us back to food groups. At one time, there were as many as 12. Ever since the first food guide was published in 1894, the government has drawn and redrawn the basic building blocks of nutritional health. Curator Alice Camps points to a pie chart from World War II.
And you can see there are 7 food groups here, and we really like this particular food guide because butter has its own food group.
If you looked at this, you'd eat as much butter as you eat green and yellow vegetables.
Yeah.
And the government added a helpful postscript. In addition to the basic 7, eat any other foods you want.
On the farm, we grow a food that's everything you need to eat. It's a fruit, a veg, a bread, a milk, a cheese, a bean, a meat. Hi, I'm Farmer Brown, singing about the foods you need.
We got a sneak preview of this exhibit, which opens this Friday at the National Archives. It's called What's Cooking, Uncle Sam? See Dr. Wiley's lab at our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.